Hi, everybody. You all go in a second. The kids will go in a second. But I don't mean kid. I mean young people. I mean culture changers. So what I want to talk about real quick is sometimes it feels like school's a scary place, and sometimes it feels like it's wobbly and things are falling apart. And I had the worst time in school. I hated every day of it and all of that. And so things just continue to move and move and move, and you can sometimes feel like that's a space that is away from God, and things are moving in a different kind of direction. But when I look around at you guys, I think about how hopeful I am. I think about you men and women and the teachers, Jordan in my weight room, and Alec just getting back in to affect everyone. I am just so full of hope for how things can be. You know, how things can be, and there's some dark places in school, and I think I have no doubt that you guys are shining light into all of those places. So I'm very, very thankful for all of you. Now you can hit the bricks. This will be a very different conversation next year because we have some seniors, and I shouldn't be the one to have that talk. I can't imagine that I'll do well with that. Okay. So last week, we're in the middle of 1 Corinthians, and I think that the conversation that we had last week is one that involves a bookend to it, and it'll make sense in a second. So last week, the main idea of the verses, and it's just the very beginning, the 1 through 6 or 7, okay? And the main idea was, he gives us everything we need, individually and corporately, enriching us in every way, lacking nothing, keeping us firm, removing the veil, making us more and more like himself, so that we can be mirrors reflecting him and his love to live this godly life that he's called us into. Amen. And that's very, very exciting because he gives us all that we need and everything is super positive. Does everybody always feel like that? Does everybody always feel like you have everything you need? Does everybody always feel like you're lacking nothing? Or that you're particularly blessed for all that is? Sometimes it feels like everything's falling apart. The picture that I always see in my head every time I think about that, has anybody ever seen the movie Spider-Man Homecoming? There's a scene in it, there's a boat that's falling apart, and Spider-Man has all the webs holding it together, and he's holding it like this, and the webs don't hold, and it's starting to fall apart. And sometimes that's exactly how I feel. That's exactly how I feel, like everything is just falling apart. And then you read verses like this, and you're like, no, but I should. And then I think Christianity and a lot of churches and religion do a disservice by making it seem like once we accept Jesus, once we start to follow Jesus, everything's roses. Everything's perfect. It's just going to be, you know, sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. You know, that's how it's going to be. So the question that this whole passage begs is, if he gives us all we need, if he's keeping us firm, does this mean that there are no more problems, or that there are no more troubles, or that there are no more issues, or that it's all sunshine? Okay? Because anytime you start to see these, that's how religion, I think, gets into that thing when they see things like this and say, well, we have everything we need. So when you start to break a little bit, you go, I have everything I need. How I would always visualize this is, the world was trying to pour a gallon of water, and I was a shot glass. And I didn't have all I needed. I had more responsibilities. I had more demands than I had capacity for. And then it would just feel overwhelming. And that's when I went into some of my darkest periods, because it would just fill me up with darkness because I didn't have enough. You know, you deal with those things that say you're not enough, and then you start to see evidence that you don't have enough either. You don't have enough capacity. You can't hold it all together. So then what? So then what? And then you see verses like this and you go, oh man, I should be. Should, right? Okay. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4, 7, 18. You don't have to turn there. But we have this treasure. And when you think about treasure, think about salvation. Think about God's love. Think about relationship with Jesus. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Does any of that sound smooth? Does any of that sound like an easy ride? There's a great passage where Paul details all the things that have happened to him. Shipwrecked, snake bitten, beaten, thrown off a cliff, like it's just all of this stuff. And then when you read these things, you go, oh, that doesn't sound nice at all. Right? There's pain, there's suffering, there's trouble, there's attacks, there's enemies, there's confusion, frustration, uncertainty. Just think about what you heard in that verse. We're hard-pressed on every side. We're perplexed, we're persecuted, we're struck down. Death is at work in us. We are wasting away and trouble, our troubles. Right? That sometimes sounds like our lives. That sometimes sounds like our reality, far more than the conversation last week. So, the thing is, they all need to come together for us, right? I'm going to have the honor of doing the memorial service for a really, really beautiful woman. Now, not yet. I thought that when I gave this today, I would have said, I just had the honor. But that's not the case yet. She's hanging on, and I can't understand why. You know what I mean? Have you ever been around someone and you're like, why? Why is there such pain? Why is there such suffering? What is she still doing here? So we were all asking why. I sat at her bedside with the family, and we're all asking why. We're all mourning. We're all full of tears. I don't have to tell you, relationship is sometimes not an easy ride, right? It's not the easiest path. I always bring up that guy at Indian Echo Caverns who thought he would follow God and just climbed into the cave for 30 years, okay? Because people are the worst, right? Also, people are the best. Okay, so they have to come together. They have to come together, right? This woman, it's not supposed to be like this, right? It's not supposed to hurt. And anytime you have a relationship, it hurts. At some point, it hurts. So when you hear Paul's words, you know what he means by hard-pressed on every side, right? We called everyone up here from school. You know what hard-pressed on every side means. At work, you have it coming on all sides, right? We know what that means. We know what it is to be perplexed. We know what it means to be wasting away. These bodies, I got to tell you, I'm 47, and I do not operate the way that I did when I was 18. I threw batting practice last week to my boys, and I used to be, Gail, I used to coach with Gail's husband, and I threw every day to the whole team, sometimes twice through, every day. I threw once, and I'm still sore. My shoulder still hurts. Bodies aren't the same. Our bodies are wasting away. You know this, right? There are troubles. Is anybody having some trouble? Sometimes there's trouble right now. We always give that prayer in the beginning where there's some silence because sometimes we drag ourselves in. Sometimes we limp in. Sometimes we're broken and we just barely get here. The alarm goes off and we don't want to go. I don't want to be around people. I don't want to deal with any of that stuff, but we're your family. We're your community. So you get here and you just drag yourselves in. By the way, I didn't say it in the beginning. This community continues to be ravaged by COVID. Go figure that, years and years later. So if you see anybody around you, there's a really good chance that they might have COVID. So say a prayer and be really careful. Stay healthy. Okay, now on to this. We all have troubles. We all drag ourselves in sometimes. Nobody has to tell us that part of this bookend, right? But the thing is, and how they come together, how we reconcile both ends of this is another even if, right? This is just another even if. And what that means is Habakkuk. Will you please turn to Habakkuk? And I'm going to wait a good 10 minutes until you find it. Because it's three chapters about two-thirds of the way through the book. And if you have the app, that's actually much easier. You could look it right up in the app. So it's before the New Testament, and there's a bunch of minor prophets. They're called minor prophets that sometimes Amos has just a couple of verses. There are some that are just one. So Habakkuk. Now Habakkuk, I found when I first started to study the scriptures, I told you all know my story. I went most of my life without following Jesus. And then once I started to study the Bible, and sometimes the thing that just smacked me right in the face, the reason that I didn't follow Jesus and go to church and any of that stuff is because I found Christians oftentimes fake. Now, I was wrong about that. That was just me, okay? But the thing that I noticed in the scriptures where there was none of that facade, there was none of it. And Habakkuk's a great example, because the first two chapters of Habakkuk are just like us now. They're saying things stink. The people that are doing all the harm are in the biggest positions, making all the money, and they're hurting everybody else, and they're keeping everything down. Has anybody ever said that? Right? And then you have this thing, and you're like, why is there so much injustice? Why is this? That's Habakkuk. That's the book of Habakkuk. And he's saying to God, I'm following you. I thought it was going to work out for me and not work out for those, because that was the other side of the Old Testament. Like, the idea was if you followed God, you would be blessed, and if you didn't, you would be cursed. But that is not the reality, and it has never been, and that's not even in the Old Testament either. There's a lot of that stuff. But Habakkuk is saying, why are these people that aren't following you getting ahead? Right? We get it. And why? I'm doing all the right things, man. I'm doing all the right things, and I can't get ahead. That's Habakkuk. And man, it is so, so relatable. So then God answers, and God answers in the way that only God can answer, which is not an answer at all. It's just, hey, were you there when I created the world? And so he gets a big, long answer that isn't an answer at all. It's just you don't have any idea what's going on here. Just be. And then, so at the end, these are some of my favorite verses in the scriptures. Habakkuk 3. Did we all get there? Was the lead up enough? Okay, Habakkuk 3:17. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there's no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty. And you can just follow this with anything else. Even though I can't pay my bills. Even if I don't have anyone to sit with at lunch. Even if I failed again. Even if my relationships are in shambles. Even if she left. Even if she lies there and isn't going to get any better but suffers. Even if, name it. Even if. Right? Even if I just can't get it right. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. That is the equivalent of saying, this thing is all a mess. But I'm going to tell myself, in the Psalms, David says the same thing, but I tell myself, God's still there. God still has it. Even if it's a mess, I'm still going to believe. Whether I feel it or not right now, I know that it's true. Has anybody ever watched the Star Wars movies? No, I failed with the Spider-Man. But in the Star Wars movie, in the best Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi, she says, if you only believe in the sun when you can see it, you'll never get through the night. That's Habakkuk. That's the scriptures. We still believe even though we don't necessarily see it. Even if everything falls apart, I'll still praise you. I'll still praise you. This is it. Even if all of these things, and now we think back to the passage we just read in 2 Corinthians. Even if we're broken, pressed on all sides, perplexed, we will not be broken. This light still shines. We are renewed. Things won't be like this forever. We have everything we need, lacking nothing. There you go. Those are the bookends. Even if I don't feel like I can carry anymore, we have all we need. We lack nothing. We lack no spiritual gift. I can't go one more day at this place, but I'm going to, because I can. I just feel that way now, right? Sometimes you can't trust your feelings. Has that been your experience? Sometimes you feel a certain way and it turns out not to be true, right? So many of these things sit on our shoulders and hearts. So many of these things sit on. And we also talked last week when I say sometimes those feelings aren't from you either. There are attacks, man. There's a spiritual war going on around us. And, you know, I wouldn't have said this 10 years ago, but I say it now. I'll say it now. Because the only way that that thing happens is if we don't acknowledge that it's there. That's how we lose. Okay? So all of these things, and they're designed to discourage us. They're designed to steal our hope. Because it's going to get tough, and all of these passages speak to this mindset, this paradigm, this perspective. It was never to avoid any of this. Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. The thing is, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It never, ever, ever says, so we'll walk around it. We don't have to worry about that valley. You know, just follow me and I'll take you over it. There's no trouble anymore. Or how about the Sermon on the Mount ends with, though the storms come, right? It's never an if. It's never an if. School is dangerous, right? There's warfare happening there. Kids are mean to each other. All of this stuff happens. Your workplace is like this. The road is like this. There are storms everywhere. But how do we do this? We were never supposed to avoid all of those things. We were never supposed. I have some kids, and I really wish that I could take them out of every pain that they will ever have. I wish that they'd never get their heart broken. It's part of the deal, man. It's part of the deal. I wish that they'd never hurt. I wish that other kids would never make fun of them. And I often say, if I could, I'd save them from that. But that's not true. That's not true. That's not a human existence, and that's never what we were called into. It was never to avoid. It was never to escape. But it's right in the middle to persevere. That's what this is. That's what this is all about, to endure, to persevere when it rains, when the storms come, even when we think we can't take one more step. Has anybody ever felt like that? I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. Right? Have you ever said those words? This, I can't do one more moment of this. I just can't continue. When you feel like that, He will keep us firm until the end. That's what it says in the scriptures. He will keep us firm until the end. Yes, death is at work. Yes, it is. But so's life. So's life, and in far, far greater measure. Far greater measure. This death ends. Life is eternal, man. Life is forever. That's why Jesus says, choose life. Here, everything's right before you. Right before you. Choose life. Just choose life. Wants you to. I heard this great thing, and I'll never forget it, and every time I think of choose life, I think about it. Sometimes in certain spaces, religion and God are equated to the ocean. Okay? As like the ocean doesn't care if you swim or you drown. But that isn't. That's where the flaw is. God wants you to swim. God wants you to swim, desperately wants you to choose life. That's why He gives us everything we need. That's why He gives us all of this stuff. That's why He keeps us firm till the end, so that we end up where we belong, which is with Him. All of this stuff. Verse 13 in what we were talking about. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. And the other one says, I believe in God, so I speak. That's another translation, and I like that best. I believe in God, so I speak. That reminds me of Jesus when Jesus said, if we keep quiet, the rocks will cry out. We can't help it. We can't help it because I believe. I believe. Even when it's nighttime, even when it's raining, so I speak. So I speak. And now think of these other different words. Outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed every day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving an eternal glory. Now, how many times does it get so hard? Does it get so hard and we think, oh my gosh, I can't do it anymore? This is producing in us achieving an eternal glory. That's what's happening. That's the two things that are coming together. That's the two hands of this. Yes. Yes, there's troubles. But they're producing an eternal glory. That's why we fight. That's why we fight today. Today, as soon as I'm done, are you going to sing? You sounded awesome, by the way, earlier. I got to tell you, sometime, now this is just a peek behind the curtain, how the sausage is made, okay? She is coughing all morning. It's a mess. We didn't think she could sing at all. And then, could you tell? Right. She just knocks it down. Some days I come here, there have been days where I came here at 10:29, there was a day I came here when she was already singing because I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I was at the soccer fields down here, the Lebanon Valley soccer fields out that long lane, and just looking out going, I'm not going. I'm just not going. I don't know what anybody's going to say, but I'm not going. I can't do it. And then I came and nobody knew the difference except for that I was late, and that's weird. Okay? It's just interesting how Jesus comes here. Sometimes I come here brokenhearted, and sometimes she comes here with a scratchy throat. And I can't tell you what's happened over the last couple of months for her to come here and talk about an alabaster box and you don't know. Man, that's the truth, sister. I'm sorry to say that. That's how the sausage is made. And may, I hope I didn't overshare. I usually only overshare with me. Anyway, that's the thing. That's the thing. Today, I'm going to run out. I'm going to run out of here. As soon as I finish, I'm going to turn this pad off and I'm going to leave. I'm going to grab my bag and I'm going to leave. Because I'm going to witness a baptism. Now, I don't know if anybody knows, we do baptisms here, just not that much. But we do. We love to. We do. We've done them in a pool. We've done them in the creek. We'll do them anywhere. I'll do them in this bathroom sink. I don't care. So I'm going to go check a baptism out for a young man who I get the privilege of coaching, right? And I couldn't help but think, this is the flesh and blood illustration of these verses. This kid who's 14 or 15 years old, he's not blind. He has troubles too. He has troubles. He goes to the same school everybody else does. It presses on every side. But he believes, so he speaks. See what I mean? That's why baptism is such a big deal, because in the middle of this, when you don't feel it, you stand up tall and say, I can't. You are baptized into death, but you come out renewed. You come out new. That's what baptism is, and that's what these verses are. Yep, it rains. Yep, it's unjust. There's a mess happening. Everything feels like it's falling apart. You have everything you need. So you stand. So we stand. Right? That's the thing. Right in the middle of all he sees, he's fixing his eyes on what's unseen. That was the last verse of that second Corinthians letter. Right? Instead of just what we see, we fix our eyes on what's unseen. Is our, the big question today. Now, last week was a really interesting one because I had all the answers. This week is just one question. Is ours an even if faith? Or is it only our, are we only with Jesus when we slept great? Or when the sun's out, or when we win, or when I go 4 for 4 and make every play, or when I score 3 touchdowns. The high school team won 55-12. Is that the only time that you point up to Jesus and say thanks? Right? Is that the kind of faith we have? Or if we lose 55-12, are we still praising? Are we still giving our worship? Are we still coming? I follow this guy, and it's about working out and stuff like that, but it applies everywhere. He says the second that he made a promise to himself that he's waking up at 4 o'clock every morning for a year, okay? The first night, couldn't fall asleep. Fell asleep at 2:30, the first night. Second night, he gets calls. He gets phone calls all night long. Still getting up at 4. Is it important? Is that the faith? Is it an even if? Or is it only when we slept really good that we can get up and get to the gym? Right? That's the thing. That's the question. So the question is ours an even if faith? The believers in Corinth and the believers in Cleona and America and Earth are up against all sorts of things. You think that being in Cleona isolates us from anything, but it doesn't. It's just different. It's just different. We're up against all sorts of things. And Paul here begins with encouragement, saying, you're going to get beaten up. There's plenty of things to get discouraged about. It's going to rain, and you're going to think it's never going to stop. And in this place, he begins with the reminder that even if whatever, that's where that thing comes up where you say, well, you don't understand my story. You don't understand what's happening here. Jesus does. Jesus does. And it doesn't matter. That's the thing. I hear, and my heart breaks. All of our hearts break. Some of us have the saddest stories. Sometimes you go, I don't know how you do it. Sometimes there's two things that are the most powerful things you can say. One is me too. And the other one is, man, I don't know how you do it. instead of those ridiculous cliches that we hear all the time when you say, everything hurts, and then you go, just keep your head up. Jesus has a plan. And then you want to punch that person. If somebody just goes, man, I get it. I see that it hurts. I'm sorry. And then just sits there. That's an answer to prayer. That's an answer to prayer. Now, maybe later you can say, God has a plan. God has a future, right? God plans to give you this. I'm down for it later, but not when I'm crying, right? Those are the powerful things. And Paul here is saying, I get it. I get it. And even if whatever that they, that we have all we need, that this all-surpassing power, the Bible says it's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, sometimes it seems hopeless. Yep, sure does. But this is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and it's within you now. So what's really hopeless? What's hopeless then? What's impossible then? Everybody died and stayed dead until he didn't. It was truly impossible until it wasn't, right? That same power is in us, is in you and me and all of us now. So many times Paul says this cool thing and I just love it. Or have you not heard? Or do you not know? Right? If somebody would have asked me that, I would have said, no, I don't know that. Do you know that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you now? Or have you never heard this? Right? And sometimes, tell me this isn't true. Sometimes we hear these things so many times, they're just words. And we just move on. Here's just another one. The bride of Christ is the church. It's a gift. God made this gift for you and me. We get to come together every Sunday and every day and be in community and relationship. We get to do that. We get to. Jesus gives us a gift. It's Christmas morning where Jesus gives it to us, and we treat it like socks. My boys love socks, so that was a bad example. Underwear. They like those two. Okay. Like notebooks. Right? And we just open it and go, it's great. Set it on the pile. Right? But it's a gift from the God of the universe for us. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about that? I did this wedding 2 days ago, and in it I say, this is the primary metaphor with how God relate with God's relationship for his people. So that blessing that is given, we take it like it's just some piece of paper that we'll put in a drawer. But this is the primary metaphor for how God relates to us. These things are shocking. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only child. Yep, okay, I hear that all the time. People hold it up at football games. If we ever thought about it for a second, our heads would explode, and our hearts certainly would. Right? Right? These things are unbelievable. And think about this. How many times you say, well, I'm just that way? It is what it is. Right? Think about that. Okay, so was death, and now it's not. And that same power lives in you now. I can't even. Things can't get so familiar that we lose them. They just can't. That same power, what Paul's saying here in the beginning, you have everything you need. That same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is yours here, now, today, and forever. That's the two hands here. There's nobody looking another way. There's nobody pretending in any of these letters. He totally gets it. He totally gets it. And right there, the other end of the bookend, we don't have to ask the question of, hey, I know what you're saying, but that doesn't make any sense. Kind of does. When it's an even if faith. Right? Amen. Now, I'm going to go. Are we cool? All right. When you get in the circle today, keep it just a little too long and think of me. And Angel won't like it. But that's okay. She's a nice person. Amen.